There is nothing like summertime with bare feet, the grass and the sand between your toes. Beachgoers the world over know that after you've spent some time on the sand, whether you call it the shore or the beach, you need to wash your feet well before you enter the house. Regardless of whether you're someone who wears your sneakers or your sandals or you go barefooted, you have to rinse and scrub off your toes. You want the most amount of sand to remain outside before you yourself come inside. I've thought of this summer practice as I recall the ancient practice of foot washing. In biblical Palestine, it was a customary practice for a host to provide their guests with water upon arrival so that the guests could wash their own feet after their dusty travels. It was a practice for cleanliness, yes, but also for comfort, to relieve the guests to be able to clean off the dust from their journey. But it won't surprise you to know that Jesus went above and beyond. Jesus didn't just provide the water and the towel. He knelt down and washed the disciples' feet himself. Now, to wash somebody else's feet was so lowly a task that not even was a servant asked to do this. So when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, we can almost imagine what was going on in their minds. What was he doing? They were embarrassed and caught off guard. It was extravagant, this radical act of service. And in case that they missed the point, he gave a further clarification that this was how they were to treat one another. This one another that called for radical mutuality. Now, often when you and I read this passage, we remember that we're supposed to serve one another. But we quickly forget the mutuality part. We forget that we're to receive the foot washing, the service, and the extravagant love of Jesus. Like Peter, we're a little uncomfortable, even squeamish, when it comes to receiving others' acts of service. We'd rather be the one to give, to serve, to wash. We want to be the one in control of the situation. There's something fundamentally uneasy, vulnerable, even intimate about being the one who receives. But Jesus, and then later Paul, are consistent and persistent in this one another business. And this was part of the gathering around the table together, the what they did after the foot washing. Now you and I will gather around the table tonight in a different way. While we're apart, we will partake in a love feast. I'm hoping you have some of your comfort and favorite foods with you tonight and will receive God's grace and have fellowship in a different way. In this unique time, I've heard stories of some of us here who've needed to receive when we've primarily been givers before. Some of us who've lost income. Some of us who've lost independence of movement. All of us who've lost something. I'm aware today of those of us who are still grieving the announcement that Pennsylvania schools will not be open for the rest of the school year. We're all mourning in some way. I've been touched by those of us who are reaching out in solidarity with one another. I know that we're not always good about being on the receiving ends of service, even though we'd never think twice about giving. Yet the care of Christ through the words and the heart of others is for us too. Jesus' care is for you and for me. Maybe sometimes we think that others need that care and attention more than we do. Maybe we think deep down, we don't really deserve that. You know, that's the very definition of what grace is. Receiving that which we don't deserve. Jesus' extravagant love, which is offered to each and every one of us. You and I, we only have to say yes. So tonight I want to offer you a new ritual, a ritual of lotion. Sometimes during the Holy Week services, we use the ritual of hand washing as a substitute for foot washing in preparation for the communion table. Often, it's about practicality. There's no shoes to remove, no socks or nylons to navigate. You can do it while you're standing upright, and in general, we're a little bit less squeamish about our hands than we are about our feet. But we're in a different season, you and I. I doubt we've thought as much about hand washing than we have now. And we've all washed our hands now more than ever. It's an essential act of service. We are loving our neighbors by limiting the spread of the coronavirus. But it takes a toll on us. Our hands may be cleaner than ever, but if your hands are anything like mine, they're drier and more chapped. Our hands might be a little bit more raw. Our hearts might be a little bit more raw, too. Our world might be a little bit raw, too. But those wounded places are exactly where Jesus shows up. Jesus tends to those who've been wounded and hurt. Where Jesus soothes and salves, Jesus comforts God's people. You and I keep on washing our hands. But how do we remind ourselves of Jesus' love and balm? Enter the lotion of which you and I spoke. Hopefully you had a chance to grab some at some point. We have a ritual of lotion before our love feast. It's a practical act, like foot washing was in Jesus' day, but it's also an act of love, of soothing, to comfort our raw and weary hands. As we put on the lotion, we imagine God's hands soothing ours. We're going to hear in just a moment, as Mel Lehman sings for us, "There's a Balm in Gilead." Now, balm is not a word that you and I use that much, but balm is that which soothes and comforts, which lessens the pain. It's a little different than a cure. We wish that we could snap our fingers and we'd have a cure. You and I serve a God who doesn't back away from suffering, but who presses on towards the cross and who suffers with us, who walks beside us and never leaves our side. Our God stoops down to wash our feet and to lotion our chapped hands. We serve a God who doesn't necessarily promise a cure, but who does promise a balm for our weary hands, a balm for our weary souls, and a balm for our weary world. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.